Good evening and welcome to the March 6th Astoria City Council meeting. Welcome everyone who's here in the audience. We're glad to see you here. Roll call, let's see, Chief Johnston.
Councilor Bronson.
Here.
Councilor Price.
Here.
Councilor Jones.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. And Councilor Namlawell is excused this evening. Reports of councilors. Councilor Jones.
Good evening, Mayor. My only report is on Friday, this Friday the 10th at 10 a.m. at Alderbrook Hall, I'll be holding a Meet the Councilor event. I'll talk about what's going on in the city from my perspective and ask for input and questions and discussion from any Astoria residents, but particularly Ward 4 constituents. Thank you.
Okay, Councilor Price.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, all the usual interesting events, and over the weekend, a couple of people told me that their house had recently been reappraised by the county, and they wondered if this was a citywide event. And it reminded me of about 2.5 years ago when the land sales were here. I had spoken to someone in the Clatsop County Assessor's Office who told me that at that time they were reappraising Cannon Beach, and then in about 2 years they were going to start in Astoria. Well, it took them a little longer, but they did everything in Cannon Beach. So they're going to start reappraising Astoria. They plan to do that in the fall. They think it'll be about a three-year project. There'll be teams of two appraisers on the street. There'll be plenty of notice. I just wanted to tell you now so I don't forget about it. And it only affects the real market value and not your assessed value that you pay property taxes on. So thank you.
Okay. Councilor Brownson.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that a couple weeks ago, I was on the radio with Mayor Lemire, with Joan Herman on KMUN, and we were just talking about a few of the council goals. And also attended a town hall event with Ron Wyden at the Astoria High School. And I just wanted to make note that it was in the high school auditorium, and it was packed. And I thought it was a very good event. And along those lines, I just want to remind people that our representative, Susan Bonamici, is going to be in the area in April at Warrington High School. So look forward to that. It's always a good opportunity to have some interaction with your representatives in Washington. And another thing is I met with, sort of on my own, Martha McLennan, who's the executive director of Northwest Alternative Housing, just to talk about affordable housing alternatives, particularly with regards to, you know, the creation of rental space for a workforce. And her organization, that's part of their mandate. They're a nonprofit. And she'd been down here a few years ago looking at the Astor Hotel as a possible prospect that didn't quite work out. But she has some familiarity with Astoria. So it was pretty interesting. And also, I'm going to have a Meet the Councilor event coming up on the 16th. And it's going to be at Three Cups of Coffee again. Last time it was at 4 o'clock. This time I'm going to do it at 5:15. Maybe give a chance for people to get there who are working. And I second Bruce's comment that all historians are welcome, but boy, I'd sure like to see people from my ward show up. So, and that's it. Thank you.
I have a question. Who does Martha McLennan work for?
So it's Northwest Alternative Housing. And in Portland.
Okay.
And I have information and contact information.
Yeah, I'd like to get that. Okay, great. Tom and I had, as he said, had the pleasure of being on KMUN with Joan Herman talking about our city council goals. It ended up, we just talked about three of them. But I think it would, hopefully some of you heard it and had some feedback for us, we enjoyed doing that. I hope we get an opportunity to do that again, or some of the other councilors get an opportunity to talk about the other city council goals. I'm really proud of the goals that we did this year. I think the whole council really agreed on the goals for the year, and we really thought them out. Is this something we honestly can do? Because in the past, sometimes we've put goals in there that have been there year after year after year after year, like the bypass, which ODOT has said, you know, you'll get it. We don't have it in the next 30 years. Well, what's the point of putting it on there if you're not going to get it for 30 years? So I think these are achievable goals, and I'm excited about the fact that I think we really can achieve them. I also had a Meet the Mayor meeting on Wednesday, the 1st. Those are always fun. You never know what topics are going to be covered, and it's always an adventure. And so I enjoy those meetings very much. We dispense with sitting up here. We sit down and at a table together and talk about things and brainstorm, and it's a real learning experience for me. And so I would encourage you to come to those. It's always the first Wednesday of every month at noon. So try to make that. That's the end of my report. Are there any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes.
Okay, the next item is proclamations. And I will read the first one. This is for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Is there anyone here who, from the group that asked for this proclamation? Okay. Whereas sexual assault affects Oregonians every day, whether as a victim or survivor, or as a family member, friend, partner, neighbor, employer, or co-worker of a survivor. And whereas Oregonians of all gender identities experience sexual violence, including an estimated 1 in 4 adult women who has been the victim of rape, and nearly 1 in 5 men who has experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. And whereas certain populations in Oregon experience much higher rates of sexual violence due to systemic oppression and inequity, and whereas compassionate, courageous, and dedicated individuals, local organizations, and other partners have provided services and support for victims and survivors and worked to prevent sexual violence for decades. And whereas sexual violence is preventable and all communities are strengthened by encouraging healthy, nonviolent interactions, relationships, and social norms. And whereas every individual and community in Oregon has a role to play to help eliminate sexual violence by working together to promote social change, now therefore I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month in the city of Astoria and encourage all citizens to join in this observance. In witness whereof, I have herewith set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Astoria to be affixed this 20th day of March, 2017. The second proclamation is similar. And having been a CASA for 13 years, this one is especially profound and important to me. Whereas every child is precious and deserves to grow up in a healthy, safe, nurturing environment free from the dangers and harmful effects of child abuse and neglect. And whereas child abuse and neglect impacts our entire society and can cause traumatic psychological, emotional, and physical harm, resulting in long-term economic and societal costs. And whereas child-focused prevention and intervention programs offer positive alternatives and outcomes for children and encourage families to develop strong, durable ties to their communities. And whereas child abuse prevention succeeds through partnerships among parents, child welfare agencies, mental and physical health care providers, schools, law enforcement agencies, churches, business, and community members by fostering loving, supportive, and violence-free homes. And whereas all citizens need to be more aware of the effects of child abuse, neglect, and prevention in order to encourage healthy parenting in healthy communities. Now, therefore, I, Arlene Lemire, Mayor of Astoria, do hereby proclaim April 2017 as Child Abuse Prevention Month. In witness whereof, I have herewith set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Astoria to be affixed this sixth day of March, 2017. Is there anyone here from CASA or any of those? Okay, we'll make sure these proclamations get to the right people. The next item is a presentation by Kevin Leahy of Clatsop Economic Development Resources.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilors. What I've prepared is the...
Kevin,
oh, yes.
You got to give your name and
oh,
your
I'm
address.
Sorry. Okay. Kevin Leahy, 3560 Irving Avenue, Astoria.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. So what I've prepared this evening is the annual update for CEDAR and the Clatsop Community College Small Business Development Center. I had provided an advance copy to the councilors and also if anybody would like a copy. So I'd like to start with the Small Business Development Center. We are kind of a quick overview that our Clatsop Community College Small Business Development Center is one of 19 in the state of Oregon. We're part of a nationwide organization of the 19 community colleges, centers, 17 are community college oriented and two are universities, Southern Oregon University and Eastern Oregon University. And our core competency and mission is to provide free and confidential advising to clients. Last year, we served 145 clients out of our center. We provided 1,000 counseling hours. We had 56 clients where we served for 5 hours or more. And that's very important because I wanted to also mention how do we provide free and confidential advising. That funding comes from the Small Business Administration and also from Business Oregon and from our host, Clatsop Community College, as well as the private sector members in CEDAR, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So we have 56 clients that we met with for 5 or more hours in an annual basis, and that's a key deliverable that the SBA is looking at, and it's very important for us to have continuity with our clients that we meet with. We provided 45 training events that we have here in Astoria and also in Seaside. We had 320 attendees for those workshops that we had. A very proud number for last year. This is the largest number ever. Total jobs created for the year, 83 in our county, and jobs retained, 88. So we're very, very proud of that. And capital formation or assisting our businesses with getting loans, access to capital, $532,000. We had 9 business starts. David Reed here in the audience is took over as our lead advisor for the SBDC this past year, has done a tremendous job, as have our other part-time advisors. I also want to quickly note, because I know time is limited here, we had Walt Pulstewaite, who is the EVP for Craft 3. Walt joined our organization as the manager of our Small Business Management Program this past year, and we're just so excited to have Walt and his expertise and passion for business join us. Jorge Gutierrez continues to serve as our part-time advisor and serving the Hispanic clients in Clatsop County. I wanted to mention that Jorge and I did attend an all-day training workshop in November at Clackamas Community College that covered best practices for serving this this population that's growing very quickly. I'm just going to continue on here and hit some of the other highlights. We did have Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici here to present the certificates of completion for our last year's SBM class in Seaside, so that was wonderful. And I'll just recap then, unless there's any questions on the Small Business Development Center, I'll go into CEDAR. CEDAR, so highlights of 2016. The CEDAR Awards event, which was held here in Astoria in March of 2016. We had 10 award winners. Skip Hockey was also honored for being a co-founder of CEDAR, given a special service award from Senator Betsy Johnson. We had over 180 business owners and leaders that attended that. And just to mention to everybody and the council that our date this year is coming up here this month, Wednesday, March the 22nd, at the Seaside Convention Center. You're all invited. Everybody's invited. It starts at 5:30 p.m. And we have our featured speakers this year are going to be Eric Thorson, a CEO of Columbia Memorial Hospital, and Kendall Sawa, CEO of Seaside Providence Hospital, talking about the importance of the healthcare sector here in Clatsop County and the economic impact. We organized, along with the WorkSource Oregon folks, the high school career and job fair. And last year, it was very successful. I say kind of hesitate because we've already had this year's, but it was held April 5th last year. We had 68 employers. And I'll just jump into this year because it's already happened. We moved it up to February 22nd this year. The business community asked to have it earlier so that they could hire the youth for spring break and other positions. We had 70 employers in attendance. We had over 700 students that attended. Seven high schools participated. All five Clatsop County High Schools and Nacelle and Owaco also came across the river to join us. We added an adult job seeker portion from 2 to 4 p.m. On the 22nd, and we had 146 adult job seekers that day, which we also provided free shuttle service from the Oregon Employment Department and Clatsop Community College to the fairgrounds. And I just want to thank the business community and the schools. We had $8,500 in funds that were collected from the business community and from the school superintendents. We had many, many volunteers. We had, like I said, 700 students, 275 alum from Astoria High School, my alma mater. So very, very proud of that number. And we had the local merchants donate 86 gift cards. So it was, we're going to be doing our wrap-up session and kind of debrief in the next couple weeks. And it was, like I said, the best ever. And just thank you to everybody that helped and participated in time and financially. Housing, we all continue to work on very diligently. I've been working with COLPAC over the last couple of years to spearhead the Affordable Available Housing Task Force, which last year took a new iteration where we decided to look at it from a project-based approach, which has been an approach that's been successful. We're always willing and ready to stand with any the cities or the county on projects that you need assistance with or helper connections. But we had all determined together collaboratively that we would be working on project-based. So what's that mean? So an example right now, I'm working with Richard Kruger, for example, on a project in the South County area. Richard Kruger, as you know, is a developer here that's developed projects here in Astoria and elsewhere. And we're working to work with him to have a successful project that we can use as hopefully a template for other projects here in our county. Next, Advanced Astoria Initiative, specific to Astoria, working with Community Development Director Kevin Cronin and his staff and being part of that, part of the steering committee for that, attending the meetings. We have a meeting this week coming up. Very excited about the opportunity to work together. Kevin and I were on KMUN recently with Donna Quinn Show, and we're on Tom Friel's program recently also, talking about how CEDAR and the City of Astoria work collaboratively, how we work together. We're not duplicating efforts. These are efforts that we connect and work together. And what CEDAR brings to the table is the expertise with the county and working with our government partners, as well as, of course, the City of Astoria, as we have done from the very beginning. So I think that's a very exciting initiative and endeavor that we're working together on. I also want to thank Nancy Ferber for, we have, you know, when a new business comes to town, we have, you know, we're always looking to serve them, again, at no cost and confidential. And I thank Nancy and the Community Development Department for just as people come into the city and say, hey, how can we get some help or what information that they pass it on to David and to myself. And the Chambers of Commerce have also been doing that as well. So just, and it isn't like, you know, you have to work with us, just here's some information, and that's been very appreciated. And it's also gotten us some clients here that we can serve at no cost and confidentially. Okay, on time here? Am I doing okay on time?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So the ADHDA Business Development Committee, CEDAR's been part of, like for many, many years I've been part of it, the 5.5 years I've been the director. David Reed currently serves as our chairman of our Business Development Committee, and we are working, of course, on the cluster analysis. We're in the process of rolling out the public portion of the cluster analysis through outreach meetings coming up very shortly. So working at, you know, voids in the downtown core, what businesses are needed, where are the voids, and we always stand ready on the SBDC and CEDAR to help those businesses be successful. So, because it's nice to, I mean, when you have a void, that's one thing, but people also have to make money in running a business. We're part of the Columbia Pacific Preservation Committee, working with AMCO, Astoria Marine Construction Company. That's a very, very difficult, you know, our ship repair facility that's been in business since the 20s, and very difficult situation. But we're trying to find at least a solution that will still allow shipbuilding or ship repair opportunities here in Clatsop County. It's a very complex issue. It's been quoted in the paper that Tim Fassbin said that they're looking at probably another year, year and a half. And again, we're all working together, the Port of Astoria, Skip Hockey, Kurt England, who serves on our Cedar Board, represent the maritime and fishing community, to see what we can do to keep that sector and industry here in our locale. The Forestry Economic Development Committee, I serve as the chair. We had our 26th annual leaders tour on Wednesday, October the 5th. Mayor Lemire has come often, so has Councillor Price. It's a great event. Every year, we had one of the largest participations of citizens and leaders in our history this past year. And by the way, we're going to be working on a fisheries committee, similar in nature, I give Amanda Gladix from OSU Extension a lot of credit, Scott McMullen, for working with us to spearhead this. And what it's going to be a tour of our local seafood processors coming up May 31st. So again, it's all about education. It's not about taking any kind of a political stand. I'm a public employee, but it's really just about education like our forestry sector has been. Clatsop Community College strategic plan, very, very important with our new president, Chris Breitmeyer. I'm serving as the external chair for the stakeholder committee about what the business community needs for now and for the future that the college can serve. VP Joanne Zahn is doing the internal side of things. So we've had several meetings, and we'll be presenting to the Clatsop Community College Board of Directors, and the City of Astoria will have, of course, a seat at the table of any meetings that we have involving the discussion about our future educational opportunities here with Clatsop Community College. Along with that, STEM, I serve on the four-county STEM partnership and represent the business community. And it's based out of the ESD offices in Hillsboro. So it's Western Washington County, Columbia, Tillamook, and Clatsop County. And we meet to talk about Craig Hoppus, for example, nominated me to be on the committee. I thank Superintendent Hoppus for that. But it's about how do we enhance it, what's offered in the schools, starting way down in the first to second and third grade. How can we help in the secondary side and Clatsop Community College? And of course, what are the business needs for now and for the future for the next several years? I also want to mention that I had a meeting, because we always talk about STEM and add the word A for arts, which is so important for our locale and for our county. I had, I think, a very positive meeting last week. Cedar served on the formation committee for the Arts Council of Clatsop County, and it kind of been stepped away for the last year or so. I know they've been working on a survey, and I met with Commissioner Sarah Nebaker and Robin Risley from the Cannon Beach Committee talking about how Cedar can assist with, when the survey results come out in the month of May, the economic impact of the arts that are in our county, how we can quantify that. And again, our role is to help connect people and discuss, and like we do with the forestry, fishing, retail, manufacturing, craft brewing sectors. It's a very, very important sector. I wanted to mention that. Oregon State, I was in Salem this past week representing the Oregon State OSU ECAN Committee. It's the Extension Citizens Advisory Committee I was appointed to this season, and also represent the Oregon Coast on the steering committee. It was a chance for us to talk to our legislators about the great work that OSU Extension does in every county in the state of Oregon. And representing Extension, and of course the agricultural and forestry, and had a very great opportunity to sit down with Senator Johnson and with Representative Dave Gomberg and Representative Debbie Boone, and just to reiterate the importance. I know we're all aware of that, but recently, over the last year, OSU Extension, they've added two positions here in Astoria that were taken away years ago, and it's back in, and I think it's having a great impact, great people. Everybody at OSU Extension are great partners. And I did want to mention also, along with the legislature, it was nice that being there last week, Representative Gomberg, he's been a key proponent of the Small Business Development Center. They used to call it, like, you know, one of the best kept secrets in the state of Oregon. Hopefully not here in Clatsop County, because we are very public about the work that we do together. But Representative Gomberg had introduced a bill, House Bill 2152, expressing the support for the Small Business Development Center. This is back February 22nd. And the support was passed 46-1. We're trying to find out who that one was. No, I'm kidding. But it was very exciting. And had a talk with Representative Gomberg. He is a small business owner. I mean, he owns kite shops in Seaside and down in the Lincoln County area. So I wanted to mention that because I appreciate the support of the legislatures, and as of course in here as well. And finally, on the private sector side, we had last year 68 private sector partners who joined the CEDAR organization. Those dollars are applied towards more advising and part-time advisors and how we can serve the business community. I've mentioned before that we pay our advisors, but we give free advising. So when you have more clients, you need to find a way to pay for it. So that's worked very, very positively. And we really appreciate the private sector's partnership. In addition to the public sector's partnership, State of Astoria, all the cities in the county, Classic Community College, Port of Astoria, and who also have a permanent seat at the CEDAR board. So finally, I write a monthly article at the Coast Road Business Journal. I've been writing that for 4.5 years. I find it very productive, and also got a lot of good feedback from people thinking about questions they have for their business that also help us with the topics. And I think of that, I will end with that. I continue as the Clatsop County Enterprise Zone Manager, and I am the current president of the Seaside Rotary Club and on the board of the Astoria Regatta Association. So that's
Stop.
So can I answer any questions or, you know?
What do you do in your spare time?
Well, I see my wife Karen once in a while. No. So
I do have a question.
Yes.
First of all, I think it's pretty obvious that the small line item in the city's budget for CEDAR, which I believe it was up to 7,500 last year.
10,000 this past year.
10,000.
Yes.
Is very well spent.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you do. It's astonishing, really. And then you started out by talking about the where your funding comes from, and some
yes.
from the Small Business Administration. I wondered if you know sort of what that percentage is, and is the Small Business Administration's budget on the chopping block at the federal level?
Well, you know, we're hoping not. Our total budget is $261,000 for this past year, just to give you the total number. And the SBA funding is $30,150. And it's been that number for about 15 years. So, you know, you never know, but we're hopeful that, from what I've been told, Mark Gregory, who is our state director, was just in Washington, D.C., and I believe we'll be flatlined. And Business Oregon, last year's funding was $42,000. And with all the concerns with our state, and but again, looking at the services provided and the results, you know, that's a key is a component. At this point, we're looking to have it held at last year's level, and so we're excited about that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Thanks, Kevin. A quick note and a question. A note: just you mentioned the OSU Extension Office, and I agree, they have terrific staff there. I say that not only because my wife works there, but you mentioned Amanda Gladix in particular. I've gotten to know her since she's been there for about 6 months, doing tremendous work. And unfortunately, you may have heard with the proposed federal budget from the administration in Washington, the 17% cut to NOAA includes elimination of the SEA grant program. And I'm hoping that our elected representatives can help maybe get some of that back into the budget.
Well, and that was part of the discussion last week when they Oregon State provided a list of all the positions that have been added statewide, including hers. And exactly, that's what we were there to talk about, to see if we could, because again, looking at the results, and Valerie Grant from the forestry side and others, correct?
Good. Well, thanks for advocating for that. And then a question on AMCO. So if AMCO, when AMCO goes away, if it's not replaced by another firm that can do the equivalent ship repair work, are those commercial fishing vessels that get their work done there going to just get work done somewhere else, or will they just pack up and move somewhere else permanently?
Probably yes and yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's yes. I mean,
it's just such a
it's
tremendous
very sad.
Loss
it's a
if we can't have a commercial ship, commercial fishing ship, you know, repair facility
right.
in our community. With fishing being such an integral
part
of our historic traditions and economy, it's just a
well, and, you know, Kurt England was talking about, you know, when you look at how much money when those fishing boats are here having their repairs, and the crew stays here and the local, of course, stays here, but when people come from out of town to have their work done, many, many fishing boats that are not based here come here for the work. They stay in the hotels and, you know, they eat at the restaurants, and they're here for, like, up to 4 to 5 weeks at a time. So there's the local component and then the external component. So it's going to be a huge loss. And I think the best that can be done is a Band-Aid approach, which means that let's see what we can find somebody that can take care of some of the ships. And then what's the long-term solution? It all comes down to money. But, yeah, it's going to be a tremendous burden for our region. Yes. Okay.
Following up on the AMCO situation, I know that they applied for and received HAIR, and I can't remember what those that acronym is.
What was that, Mayor LaMere?
It's historic.
Oh.
Recognition of
right.
some sort.
Correct.
But that doesn't help them to stay in business.
No. It does not help, because it also kind of puts some constraints on any types of some of the repairs that might be having to be done and things based on the mm-hmm. building and the historic feature of it. And like Tim Fassman's, I grew up with Tim. We went to high school together. And he's just mentioned about, you know, putting money into repairing. It's like in a business, why would you put money into repair something that's going to go away?
Disappear, yeah.
So that was a wonderful designation a few years ago, but it basically was a neutral in terms of any kind of positive impact towards that.
Well, thank you very much for this report. I'm always amazed at all the things that you do. And
it's David, it's our whole team, it isn't just me. We all work together, the whole staff. So thank you very
great.
Much.
And I'm looking forward to that tour of the seafood facilities on May 31st.
Yes,
that'll be
great.
Fun.
Sounds good.
Thank you. The next item is a consent calendar, and as you know, these are a group of items that are passed with one motion unless someone asks for an item to be removed. Has anyone asked for an item to be removed?
There have been no citizen requests.
Anyone on the council wish to remove an item?
No.
I'd like to remove F, please. So if there are no other requests, could we have a motion to approve items 7A through E?
I make a motion that we approve items on the
A through E.
A through E.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Chief Ames.
Councilor Price.
Here. Yes.
Yes.
Councilor Jones.
Yes.
Mayor LaMere.
Aye. Okay. The reason I wanted to remove item F, this is a request to extend the moratorium on lane rental fees charged to the North Coast Swim Club and the Astoria School District. As I understand, what I wanted to know is, are both of these groups working with the Parks Foundation to see if there is any relief on these rental fees?
Yes, the Parks, Recreation, and Community Foundation attended the, welcomed the North Coast Swim Club to their last board meeting, where they offered a $1,000 grant to go towards funding for scholarships for specifically for low-income swimmers.
Is that still in mediation or what?
They agreed to in a short meeting, so I don't believe they're still having conversations about it.
So there's no further discussions about subsidizing the lane fees. What was discussed by the foundation was to provide a grant for low-income swimmers who may be a part of that organization.
And would that be for both the school swim club and also the private swim club?
Only the North Coast Swim Club, the private swim club approached the foundation.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and I was thinking about setting that aside myself. During the work session, is this going to be part of the discussion?
Well, I mean, I don't know this is going to be part of the discussion as much. I mean, there's going to be some actually much larger topics than this.
Well, I understand that. My concern was that, so we're asking for another 60-day moratorium, and I'm all for this getting done. Is this hopefully going to be the last 60 day? Do you foresee a solution in the next 60 days?
So let me maybe first take a crack at this. So
the
council actually had requested that they not take action on this until the work session. So staff would like to be able to see resolution on this quickly, as we are not receiving funds from either organization. You know, we would like to see something. The direction that we have from council that's officially on record right now is that the school district will be charged a higher rate than the North Coast Swim Club. That was the direction of the city council back last year from the prior members of the council. And so our direction presently is to have a two-tiered system, one which is higher for Astoria School District swim team members, one which is lower from the North Coast Swim Club. I'll tell you, the North Coast Swim Club does not feel as though they should be paying lane rental fees.
And what is that tier? I mean, what is the cost for each group?
It's in negotiations.
Okay.
That's the
Again, the what was negotiated with the Astoria School District, which they accepted, was $5 per lane per hour initially, and 10?
10 initially.
And North Coast Swim Club still feels they shouldn't pay any lane fees.
So what I'm hearing you say is that in the work session, you want to get more direction from the council at this.
Well, I mean, if you'd like to provide some direction after the work session, that would be good. Go ahead.
A small portion of the work session, as it's addressing the entire department budget, part of that discussion is possible fee increases into the future, and that is one of the considerations.
Okay.
Okay.
Again, my main concern is that we kind of get this done.
That's my concern, too.
It seems like we should come to some kind of conclusion. So, yeah, thank you. Okay, could we have a motion to approve item F?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, our first regular agenda item then is an ordinance revising legal description of the Astor West First Amendment.
And this ordinance received its first reading at your last council meeting. And again, this is a revised amendment to correct an error on the legal description, which is a requirement for the expansion of the Astor West Urban Renewal District, which was approved last year. So tonight, it's recommended that council hold the second reading of the ordinance and readopt the First Amendment to the Astor West Urban Renewal Plan.
Okay.
Just need a motion.
Yeah. Could we have?
Well, I move that we have a second reading.
Second.
And adopt second. An adoption. We can do that with one emotion, right?
Well, actually, you would typically ask for a reading of the ordinance, and then you would have the a vote to adopt the ordinance.
Okay, second reading. Mr. Cronin, you look ready.
Thank you, Mayor. In order to making certain determinations and findings relating to an approving or revision to the First Amendment to the Astor West Urban Renewal Plan.
Okay, now we can have a motion.
Yeah, I don't have it in the front of me.
Okay,
sorry.
A motion.
I move we readopt the ordinance regarding the First Amendment to the Astor West Urban Renewal Plan.
I second.
Okay, now is this a
Roll call.
Yes. Roll call, Ms. Cosby.
Councilor Brownson?
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. The second item is a liquor license application from the Astoria Mini Mart.
So this is, again, a liquor license which has been filed by Davinder Singh and Sundeep and Ekam LLC, doing business as the Astoria Mini Mart. This is a change of ownership for an off-premise sales with fuel pumps license. The site is located at the corner of Marine Drive and Hume on the western part of Astoria near the Chamber of Commerce offices. Departments have reviewed the application, and there are no objections which were noted. It's recommended that council consider this application.
I just have a question. Do they currently have an off-premises sale?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion then or discussion?
I move we approve the application.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The next item is another liquor application. This is from LaPlante LLC, which used to be Fulio's.
Anyway, this is a change in ownership, which has been filed by Alan LaPlante for LaPlante LLC for the Fulio's Restaurant. And again, this is a change in ownership for a full on-premise sales license and an off-premise sales license. And this is located on Commercial Street in downtown. And there have been no comments received by city staff, and it's recommended that the council consider this application.
Any comments, questions?
I'll move that we approve the application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the next item is a resolution reaffirming the City of Astoria's policy of inclusivity.
So I'll just give a brief intro on this. So at the last city council meeting, Mayor Lemire added in a resolution, the resolution of inclusivity for council discussion and dialogue. And there's a presentation from Jorge Gutierrez of the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council, as well as others who came forward. And the council had requested that staff go back and review the resolution to look and see whether there's any thoughts or concerns with the resolution before bringing back to tonight's meeting for consideration. So after that, postponement, city staff reviewed our internal protocols, and the one issue that we determined was that the municipal court dockets, which are public records, are items that different parties request copies to be sent them electronically. And one of the entities that has requested a copy of our court docket is ICE. And if the resolution were passed, then then that would have precluded the City of Astoria from being able to provide a copy to ICE, which would have been in turn a violation of open records law, meaning open documents are not being freely provided, which they have to be provided by statute. So in response, our city attorney, Blair Henningsgaard, took a crack at revising this document. And there were some various edits that went forward. We provided this to Mr. Gutierrez. And there were some further edits that were made back and forth. And what is presented to you tonight is the version which included Mr. Henningsgaard initial language with some edits made by Mr. Gutierrez on behalf of the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council. So this is something for council discussion and dialogue, and I'll be quiet and let you talk amongst yourselves.
Should I read the resolution and then we can discuss it? Okay. This is a resolution reaffirming the City of Astoria's policy of inclusivity. Whereas the City of Astoria, Oregon, from the earliest First Peoples, has continually prospered through the labor and imagination of immigrants, British, Russian, and Canadian traders, the German-American John Jacob Astor, whose expedition built the first American settlement here, the Finns, Norwegians, Swedes, Chinese, and now Latino communities who worked or work in the fishing and canning industry. And whereas immigrants from all nations, as well as Native Americans, have made vital contributions as neighbors and families to the health, well-being, and general welfare of the city. And whereas inclusion and integration of all residents is a matter of concern for the general welfare of the city. And whereas discrimination based on national origin, race, ethnicity, or religion does not promote the health, well-being, and general welfare of the city. And whereas all of our residents should be treated with compassion and respect, regardless of national origin or citizenship status. And whereas the power to exclude and deport immigrants is not a function of the city, and enforcement of laws and policies in this area is reserved exclusively to the federal government. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the city of Astoria embraces, celebrates, and welcomes its immigrant residents and recognizes the contributions they make to our collective prosperity. And be it further resolved that, except as required by law, no city agency or employee shall use monies or equipment to detect or apprehend persons whose only violation involves a federal immigration law. Be it further resolved that, except as required by federal or state law, no city services or benefits of any kind shall be conditioned upon a resident's federal immigration status. Adopted by the Common Council this 6th day of March 2017, approved by the mayor this 6th day of March 2017. Are there any comments, or do you want to just approve it?
I agree with the changes. I like the language. And I also just wanted to congratulate your staff member, Mr. Estes, who caught the discrepancy that would have had us in violation of the Open Records Act. So, good catch.
Well, I really couldn't be prouder to approve this. I think, though, let me tell you why. I think that the current immigration efforts that are being made are cruel. They go beyond what we have known for many years throughout Republican and Democratic administrations. I would urge our immigrant community to follow the advice of our Hispanic Council and of CAUSA and to do everything you can to stay out of the law, to stay, to do everything you can to become documented if you or a family member are involved in the justice system, to make plans just in case, because this is not a great time. And this resolution really is something that shows our support for our immigrant community, but cannot do much. Just as earlier today, on a much smaller matter, the county assessor told me that, you know, the appraisers who are going around don't need to come onto your property to appraise your house. ICE doesn't need to have local law enforcement help them apprehend people. They know where you live. They know where you work. They know how to find you. They have access to all the public records. So please be safe.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to, I heartily agree with Cindy's assessment and your comments. And thank you, Mr. Estes, for your good work on this as well. I feel very good about the statement and how it's phrased. I did want to just say that I received one email and I received one phone call. It's my first phone call from a constituent who is concerned about the language not making the distinction between legal and illegal immigrants. And I just wanted to say in regards to that that I heard that, and I suspect there are other people in the community that feel the same way, that supposedly we should be busy making these distinctions. But as far as I'm concerned, the issue of legal and illegal immigrants and whether the distinction between the two should be incorporated in the statement of inclusivity is, in my opinion, it's not the city's business to make this distinction. I hear your desire to make this point, but if we have neither the mandate nor the ability to make the distinction, it is more important to make clear that we support all the people that contribute to the good of our community and our city. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else from the council? Okay. Mr. Bone. If you want to come up, please, and state your name and address.
My name is Brett Bone. I live at 824 35th Street. And the thing that bothers me about your list of the various nationalities that contributed to the history of Astoria is that you overlooked the Yugoslavs from the island of Vis. Those fishermen came in large numbers and contributed greatly to this community, and I think they should be included as well.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, is there someone who'd like to make a motion?
I move we adopt the resolution reaffirming the City of Astoria's policy of inclusivity.
A second.
Okay, we need a roll call vote. Mr. Cronin.
Councilor Brownson.
Aye.
Councilor Jones.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Mayor LaMere.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. That concludes our regular business. Is there anyone from the audience who wants to talk about an item? Loretta.
Loretta Maxwell, Grandview Bed and Breakfast, 1574 Grand Avenue, Astoria. I'm back. I hope this doesn't turn into a big thing like last week. Well, last week I went to the Planning Commission and talked to them about the how I felt about the petition for, I don't know if I'm saying the right word, but the petition for a homestay permit, and what I could tell is that the person had gone through and did everything that they were supposed to do. There was really no reason why their permit should be denied. And what I did discover, or what I came to think about, was maybe we need to look at how many rooms are available. Are we oversaturated with hotels, new hotel rooms being added? There's a Marriott coming in. Do we have more space for nightly rental than we really need, and so we're killing off each other. Another concern that I had, she has two rooms that they would be sharing a common kitchen. Grandview has to comply with certain health department rules, and we're inspected whenever the health department person comes to look at our mainly they're focused on the kitchen, and I think that the homestays should be looking at monitoring and regulating that kind of thing as well. So that's why I'm back. They told me to come back or come talk to you about that.
Thank you, Loretta.
Okay.
No questions?
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Jorge.
Hi. Jorge Gutierrez, 3734 Franklin Avenue. This will be short because I think I pretty much said everything I wanted to at the last meeting. But I just wanted to come up and just thank you again for passing the inclusivity resolution. As was mentioned, it's not really doing anything new. It's just reaffirming what the city's already doing. But I think that in these times, it's important to reaffirm the good. So I really thank you for that.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Okay.
Yes, my name is Rick Culver. I live at 3506 Harrison, Astoria. And Tony didn't know that she was probably somebody you might have known, Yugoslavia. Anyway, I'm here to talk about the short-term rental issue.
Okay.
I did go to the Planning Commission meeting last time. And the neighborhood I live in, I've lived there since 1979, raised a family. And the neighborhood is converting over to a vacation rental homes, rentals, and now at the Planning Commission meeting, I think a lady was talking about a short-term rental in the Harrison Circle area up there. I have lived there, like I said, a long time, raised a family. It's been a family residential neighborhood with the heavy congestion of the summer traffics. The streets aren't, I don't park my car on the street anymore. It's been sideswiped. It's been vandalized numerous times with just the amount of rentals in the area now from all the way down to Marine Drive up the whole neighborhood up there. I don't know if that's the reason or not, but anyway, the short-term rental issue, I understood that there's not many ordinances to regulate this, and right now there's 10 with one approved at the last Planning Commission meeting, so there's not very many. I've seen the issues with this from Lincoln City, Newport, Seaside, Cannon Beach, Gearhart, and it's here too. And the neighborhood, like I said, it's a residential neighborhood zoned for residential. And with the events that happen in town, Astoria here, where you want to bring people in, it'll just bring extra congestion. And I now allow, I have a vacant lot across the street from my property, and I allow some long-term renters, they park their vehicles there to keep them off the street type stuff. And so, but with the vacation homes, when they come down, you know, I can see this getting more congested and encroaching more on other people's property. I know I pick up trash, more trash than in years past. I hypodermic needles, I pick that up. Dog waste, that's put in bags and thrown in the flower beds. You know, I don't have dogs myself no more. But it's just congested. The law enforcement, you know, I hate to call the police every time that there's a nuisance issue. But I've had to just recently go out my yard as people walking through the yard there. That my wife, she told me about it, and a little scared, didn't know who it was. Person had to be arrested a couple weeks later for some assault charges.
Okay. I mean, thank you. Yeah, we do have a 3-minute. So I did have one question though. Where is your neighborhood?
3506 Harrison.
You're up on Harrison Circle, no, then that area?
I'm at the intersection of 35th and Harrison.
Okay.
That's where you turn and go up Irving. There's a lot of traffic in that area. There's a lot of, you know, it's getting more and more civil. The house down the street was sold, and I see it's a vacation. There's a lot of different cars and other stuff there now, and the Planning Commission said that vacation homes are supposed to be illegal in that area.
Okay. If you can put some of this in writing, that's really helpful. I've been compiling letters that I'm getting, pro and con, and that's really helful because I look through every single word that people say, so it's really helpful if you can put that into writing.
Yeah, spring break's coming up, and Louis Tim's coming up real soon.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty congested here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you all for coming. We will be recessing into the meeting of the Astoria Development Commission.
Thank you.
It's interesting. It's just about even, pro and con.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
But
I think it's really important that we really need to find the rich list.
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And I think there's some compromises to be made. I think there's some compromises to be made.
Well, there are lots of compromises to be made. For me, there's distinctions to be made. We need to kind of separate everything out.
I think so too.
These individual issues in ourselves and kind of segregate them. So that we can make a lot of rules, regulations, and decisions, but enforcement, and that's what we hear out there.
I know.
Such a huge issue.
No enforcement.
Finding ways to facilitate enforcement, to limit and facilitate enforcement.
Yeah.
I think we can do that.
Where are you living?
Well, that's probably more true to South Florida. So South Florida. Okay, so that's me. Yes, well, thank you. Well, thanks for coming to the meeting.
Okay, do I call that next meeting to
get it? Let's just get it going.
Okay. We have to go into.
So, yeah, you'll just have a consent agenda vote to approve minutes.
But we know go in there.
And then we'll. Right, so call it to order, and
okay.
Then go straight to consent, and you'll need a roll call vote.
Okay.
So, I have all of this on Northwest Alternative Housing. Martha McClellan.
Ladies and gentlemen.
If you want to take a look at this stuff, you're welcome to.
We have another meeting.
One of these really scary smart people. I mean, she really knows her business, and she knows how all this works.
And
she's really, really helpful.
Hi. Okay.
It's a Thursday the 16th at 5 o'clock. Okay. Are you in my ward?
That's the wife of the new librarian.
Yes, right. Okay. Just like,
yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, we're not a mayor. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. I will call to order the meeting of the Astoria Development Commission, and we have to have another roll call. Mr. Cook.
Councilor Brown.
Son.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you. Consent calendar. Is anyone have any problem with the consent calendar? Can we have a vote to? Could we have a motion to approve?
I move we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Oh, we need a roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Pearson.
Councilor Bronson.
Aye.
Councilor Price?
Aye.
Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Mayor Lemire?
Aye. Okay, and let's see, we are then going to go into executive session.
That is correct.
So.
Right.